So today's a very special service for Memorial Day weekend, and we're going to remember a fallen soldier at each service, just to remember their sacrifice. And you know, even though Memorial Day is secular in nature, it's not a Christian holiday. The principle of memorials and memorializing things is very much all throughout Scripture. And so today, really, really quick, I'm going to go through just 10 examples of that. And so I'm going to run through them this morning. And so if you like to go dig deeper, then I want to encourage you to take some notes. You can download our app on your phone, and you can take notes there, or you can go at each entrance. We have notes you can write down. And so we want to encourage you to do that, because I'm going to have to run through these memorials real quick. But the idea of memorializing is something that God created in us when He created us. You know, up until recently, scientists honestly believed that there was only one area of our brain that held memories. And so, you know, if your head got hit in a certain way in that area, then you would lose memory. And so they used to believe it was almost like this big storage room, you know, with all these rows of files just neatly organized. And when you needed a memory, you could go to that file and pull that memory out. That's honestly the best way to describe how scientists used to believe our mind worked when it comes to memory. But recently, they've realized it's not that at all. That our brain is memory. It's everywhere. It's impulsive. It's going everywhere. The neutrons are going everywhere. And so it's the memory is all throughout our brain. And although there's a specific area of our brain that is designated to memory, it's all throughout. And so God created us with this idea of memorializing things, to be able to bring things up from our memory. And so again, we're going to run through 10 things in Scripture, 10 memorials in Scripture. And the first one is the rainbow. If you look at Genesis 9:14, says this: "When I send the clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I'll remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. Then God said to Noah, 'Yes, this rainbow is a sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures of the earth.'" So the rainbow is the covenant to remind us of the covenant God made with Noah, that He will never again flood the waters. And it's just that memorial of remembering. And so when we see that rainbow, remembering God's promise, remembering God's faithfulness. The second one is the Passover. It's found in Exodus 12. And so the Passover, to give you a little bit of context, so the Jews, God's chosen people, they're in captivity to the Egyptians, right? And so God says that He will deliver them, and He sent the plagues. And this is what it says: "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a fast to the Lord throughout the generation. The generations, you shall keep it as a fast by an everlasting ordinance." So God delivers His people from bondage of the Egyptians. And God says, "Now look, I'm going to ordain this feast, this Passover feast. And whenever you celebrate it, you're going to remember God's greatness. You're going to remember God's deliverance and protection of His people." And so this Passover feast is a memorial of what God has done and what God wants to continue to do in the lives of His people. And so we're going to see that Jesus took this, with our last point, we're going to see that Jesus took this Passover and He brought it to a whole different level. And so we're going to see that in the tenth part. But the third part, the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, this is found in Leviticus 23, and this is what it says: "Remember that this seven-day festival to the Lord begins on the 15th day of the appointed month after you have harvested all your produce of the land. The first day and eighth day of the festival will begin will be days of complete rest. On the first day, gather the branches of magnificent trees, palms, leafy trees, and willows. Then celebrate with the joy before the Lord for the 7 days." So the feast of the Tabernacles is basically similar, not exactly, but similar to our Thanksgiving. Okay, and so the Feast of the Tabernacles is the day after, is this week of the 15th day of the appointed month in autumn, where they've gathered all their fruits in, and so it's the last day of their harvest. So they've gotten their harvest is all in, and so God said, now have a feast where you're gonna rest. You're gonna rest for on the first day and the eighth day, and then you're just gonna celebrate. And what are you celebrating? You're remembering that God's the one who did all this. Wouldn't that be great for us to remember? You know, we go to work, we labor, we do all this stuff, and in our American narcissistic view, it's like, well, I earned that. And God, the Feast of the Tabernacle says, no, this is what God's done. We need to remember that we can do nothing, that we have nothing apart from God. That is God's faithfulness. And so that's what the Feast of the Tabernacles was. It was to remind them, yeah, you harvested it, but God provided the harvest. And so the Feast of the Tabernacles, this was a celebration to remember, to be thankful, to have gratitude of all God has provided. The next one is the brass censers. Now, this was a little bit different. So to give you the background, Israel's in their 40 years of the wilderness, right? And whenever because they're in the wilderness, it's prime for rebellion. And a rebellion does come up because the people, you know, they heard about the promised lands, and then they find out because of different actions of different people, they're not going into the promised land. And so it's prime for people rising up and rebelling. And that happens. And so God tells them, look at Numbers 16:38. Take the incense burner of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives and hammer the metal into the sin sheet to overlay the altar. Since these burners were used in the Lord's presence, they have become holy. Let them serve as a warning to the people of Israel. And so they took these people, you know, these rebels, they took their incense burners and put it on the altar of God to remind them, listen, don't rebel. You act like you know better than God. And that's true for a lot of us in life, right? Where sometimes we get ahead of God and we want something and we try to figure it out, and well, I'm gonna go here anyway. I'm going to do things on my own. And so these incense burners, these brass censers, these incense burners were put at the altar to remind, you know, the people, look, it does us no good to rebel against God. The fifth thing is the 12 stones from the Jordan. So Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says this. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each tribe of Israel. He told them, go in the middle of the Jordan in the front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of them must pick up a stone to carry it out on their shoulders, 12 stones in all, one for each tribe of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you will tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So when God did this miracle, he told them, now look, before you go any further, so they cross the Jordan. It's this huge miracle, right? They get to the promised land, and God said, look, before you go any further, before you do anything else, stop and build a memorial. Stop and build a memorial to remember what God has done. You know, I shared the story last week about how I went to Children's Hospital for the first time since Caden had his surgery, and it took me a while to gather myself because I remembered what God had done. Me stepping out, driving down that street, parking in that parking lot, and stepping out at that hospital just brought back all these memories of what God has done. And I had to take some time to just thank him and praise him. And that's what this monument did for the Jordan. It's like, look, sometimes we get so caught up with life, don't we? Sometimes we get so caught up and distracted with our pursuits and with our goals and with our agendas, and we're just going. We want to retire. We want this much money. We want this house. We want to pay this off. And we're just going and going and going. And this memorial, these 12 stones at the Jordan, it says, look, before you go any further, stop and build this memorial. So when life gets chaotic, when life gets, then you and your kids can look back at this memorial and say, look, remember when God did that? Let that be your focus. Let that be your focus. And so the 12 stones of Jordan, the sixth thing is the Sabbath day. In Deuteronomy 5:15, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath day is just that reminder of creation. God took 6 days to create and took one day to rest from his labor. And he tells us, look, we do that not only for our rest, but to remember the Lord. It's not just about a day of being lazy, right? The Sabbath, and a lot of people think that, yes, it's a day to rest, but it's also a day to remember the Lord. It's also a day to remember his creation and everything that he's done. So the Sabbath is a day to rest, but it's also a memorial to the Lord. The seventh one is the manna in the ark. Exodus 16:31-32 says, the Israelites called the food manna. So they're in the wilderness, right? And they don't know how they're going to eat. The manna falls from heaven and they have this food. The Israelites called the food manna. It was white. It was white, tasted like honey wafers. Then Moses said, that is what the Lord has commanded. Fill 2 quarts of a container with manna and preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food I gave you in the wilderness when I set you free from Egypt. You see how so many scriptures says, hey, look, this is for future generations to remember. This is for you to remember. This is for you to remember. Memorializing is to remember. And so they put this manna in the ark to remember that God provided. When they didn't know how they were going to eat, manna fell from heaven. God provided. Real quick, how many of us can serve to remember that God's our provider sometimes? How often do we get stressed? Does the economy or our job security or these other things begin to stress us out? And we just have to stop and remember, God is our provider. And that's why they put the manna in the ark, to remember God is our provider. The eighth one is the Feast of Purim. In Esther 9:28, these days would be remembered to keep from generation to generation and celebrated by every family throughout the provinces and cities of the empire. The Feast of Purim would never cease to be celebrated amongst the Jews, nor would the memory of what happened ever die amongst their descendants. This is the story of Esther, you know, and so Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. So Haman said, you know what, I'm going to kill all the Jews. So Mordecai goes to Esther, who goes to the king to appeal, and they're at this banquet, and Esther reveals Haman's, you know, the evil Haman's plan. And so you know, they hang Haman, and so they're at this banquet, and this banquet, the Feast of Purim, is to remember that, you know, God's faithfulness and sovereignty in this time. So that's what that one is. So again, it's a memorial. It's to remember what God had done. Number 9, the anointing of Jesus. The anointing of Jesus. Look at Matthew 26, verse 6 and through 13. It says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. So she comes in, Jesus is eating, and this woman comes in with this beautiful jar of perfume and just pours it over Jesus' head. And the disciples are like, what's going on? The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, why do you criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, whenever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. Remembered, remembered that she gave her all. She gave her all before Jesus. Isn't that something that we could remember every day? That this woman came before Jesus and gave her all. And Jesus responded, this act will be remembered because she gave her all. And the last thing, the Lord's Supper. It's found in Luke 22:19-20. And this is what it says. It says he took some bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to each disciple, saying, "This is my body which was given to you. Do this to remember me." After the supper, he took the cup of wine and said, "This is the cup of my new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here is the table sitting among you as a friend. There is a man who will betray me, for it has been determined that the Son of God must die, but sorrows awaits the one who betrays him." The disciples began to ask each other, which one would it be? And so we see here that Jesus is celebrating the Passover, which we talked about earlier. And he says, look, we're not going to do away, but we're going to fulfill it and we're going to take it to a next level. And so when you're doing this, the Passover, he says, now this is going to be the Lord's Supper or communion as we call it, because it's going to be to remember the broken body and shed blood for us. And so we see throughout Scripture, and we're going to do that to end the service. We're going to partake in communion. And so to remember, because again, Easter is a great time, you know, to remember the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. You know, Christmas, we remember the birth of Christ. And so we have these seasons where we're kind of in tune. But in the middle of May, sometimes our life, you know, with all the graduations, with all the busyness, with planning vacation and all that stuff, sometimes our mind isn't really on the crucified and resurrected Christ. And so this morning, we want to remember that. But before we do, we want to take a moment and we want to remember a fallen soldier who without his sacrifice and the sacrifice of millions, we would not be able to sit here and worship freely today. And so we're going to have a video, and then we're going to remember a fallen soldier.
Good morning. My name is Randy Caswell, the associate pastor here at Bethel, and I stand before you now representing all the veterans of our community and our country. And I myself am a 22-year veteran of the United States Air Force. A proud tradition of our country is to honor those who have come before us and who is credited for our freedom that we all enjoy, especially on this day when we celebrate our freedom of religious rights. I'm sure everyone knows that tomorrow is Memorial Day. And today, as this body of Christ in our community, we have the distinct privilege to recognize and honor Corporal Richard P. Shaner from Hayes, Louisiana, who gave his life in defending our freedom in May 2005. He was assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment, the America's Battalion in Hawaii. Deployed with the 2nd Squad, 2nd Battalion, Kilo Company, 3-3 in Afghanistan during Operation Enduring Freedom. We will honor him and his family today by conducting a flag folding ceremony, a flag dedication, and flag retirement in Corporal Shaner's honor. But first, I think it's important that we come to understand and know what Memorial Day means to us as Americans. In 1868, under the General Order Number 11, General John Logan, the National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, began a Decoration Day in remembrance of comrades-in-arms who have died in defense of their country. After the Civil War, the tradition was continued, and in 1971, Congress enacted the Holiday Act, which established this remembrance as Memorial Day. And today, it truly is an honor to remember one of our comrades-in-arms. And at this time, I call Staff Sergeant Brendan Roy and Staff Sergeant Brian Simon to join me on the stage. As veterans of the armed forces, we all know that a soldier's sacrifice should never be forgotten, should always be held in high honor and respected. And today, in honor of Corporal Richard Shaner, the United States flag will be folded, dedicated, and retired in his honor. Richard's only family member here in Louisiana is his sister, Jessica Thompson, was going to join us today, and an incident occurred that she had to have hip surgery Friday morning. So, Miss Jessica, I speak through you through our video today. And she's home recovering, and we pray that you will recover with a stronger hip than before the surgery. To you and to all the family members of Richard, we thank you and for the honor of allowing us to offer this service in honor of Richard. Staff Sergeant Roy, Staff Sergeant Simon, prepare the flag. I can only describe Richard as a true brother in arms, a patriot, a hero for defending our freedom. On May 8, 2005, Corporal Shaner was killed during a fierce clash with insurgent fighters of the Al-Qaeda-affiliated militia while pursuing the insurgent forces in local villages near Alashkan, Afghanistan. The 3rd Battalion was made aware of an ambush that was about to happen. The 3rd Battalion Marines continued to push forward until this contact was made, and as a team leader, Corporal Shaner was ahead of the Marines. And while they were pursuing these insurgents, Corporal Shaner was one of the first Marines in advance on the cave where the insurgents retreated to. And upon his advance toward the cave, Corporal Shaner was severely wounded by enemy gunfire. And almost immediately, he under fire from the insurgents inside the cave and is severely wounded. And Corporal Shaner, although he was severely wounded, he continued to fight back, providing cover fire for his fellow Marines. And he continued to protect the 2nd Quad until his life ended. Because of Corporal Shaner's courageous actions and for reflecting the highest traditions of the Marine Corps, he was awarded the Bronze Star with Combat Distinguishing Device. Ms. Jessica and the Shaner family, it is for you, this hero, that we retire this American flag today. And a flag-folding ceremony represents the principles for which the United States of America was originally founded. The principle of freedom, the principle of honor, the principle in faith to our God. This ceremony is conducted when the flag is retired from service, and it is most often done to honor a fallen soldier. Prepare the flag. The portion of the flag denoting honor is the canton of blue containing the stars which represents the states from which our veterans served in uniform. The canton field of blue dresses from left to right, and it is inverted when draped as a pall over the casket of a veteran who has served our country in uniform. Our hope and prayer for this ceremony is that Corporal Richard Shaner, as well as all Americans who have fallen during combat or in serving our country's freedom, will not and never be forgotten. The first fold of the flag is a symbol of life. The second fold is a symbol of our belief in the eternal life. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veteran departing our ranks who gave a portion of their life for the defense of our country and to attain a peace throughout the world. The fourth fold represents our weaker nature. For as American citizens trusting in God, it is to Him we turn in times of peace, as well in times of war, for His divine guidance. The fifth fold is a tribute to our country, for in the words of Stephen Decatur, our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong. The sixth fold is for where our hearts lie. It is with our heart that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with justice, liberty and justice for all. Excuse me. Got some tape on my paper. The seventh fold is a tribute to our armed forces, for it is through the armed forces that we protect our country and our flag against all enemies, whether they be found within or without the boundaries of our republic. The eighth fold of the flag is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death, that we might see the light of day and to honor Mother for whom it flies on Mother's Day. The ninth fold is a tribute to womanhood, for it has been through their faith, love, loyalty, and devotion that the character of men and women who have made this country great have been molded. The tenth fold is a tribute to fatherhood, for he too has given his sons and his daughters for the defense of our country since they were first born. The 11th fold in the eyes of the Hebrew citizen, represents the lower portion of the seal of King David and King Solomon and glorifies in their eyes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 12th fold in the eyes of a Christian citizen represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies in their eyes the Father, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when the flag is completely folded, the stars are uppermost, reminding us of our national motto, "In God we trust." At this time, if there is any veteran who has joined us today for this service, I invite you to please come forward to the stage to participate in the dedication and retirement of this flag. Any veterans? And I ask each of you to face the flag. After the flag is completely folded and tucked in, it takes the appearance of a cocked hat, ever reminding us of the soldiers who served under General George Washington and the sailors and Marines who served under Captain John Paul Jones, who were followed by their comrades and shipmates of the armed forces of the United States, preserving for us the rights, the privileges, and the freedoms we enjoy today. And after this flag is completely folded, it is usually presented to the family of the fallen soldier. This flag will be presented to Miss Jessica Thompson and her family after today. The flag, after it is retired, will be encased in a glass case to remind us of Richard's life, his dedication, and his sacrifice for our freedom. And when a flag is presented to the family members of a fallen Marine, the following is said: on behalf of the President of the United States Marine Corps, and a grateful nation, please accept this flag as a symbol of our appreciation for your loved one's honorable and faithful service. So, Ms. Thompson, I speak to you today, and this flag is encased and delivered on behalf of this body of Christ and all of these veterans that are represented. Please accept it as an honor of Richard's willingness to serve his country to the level which Christ taught us and had written in John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment: love each other the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And because of this, Ms. Thompson and the Thompson family, we commit to doing everything we can to ensure Richard's life as a friend, as a comrade in arms, and as a hero will not or ever be forgotten. And each of us veterans here wish to salute you and this flag in honor of Richard, who we know to be a true servant, a true Marine, and a true American hero who has fulfilled what Jesus spoke of in John, laying down his life for one's friends. So I ask each veteran here to salute with me, and I call them veterans. Present. Homes. Order, arms. This flag will now be retired from service in honor of Marine Corporal Richard P. Shaner. And may we now all show gratitude for our fallen soldier Richard as the flag is carried out. We thank all the veterans that are here today, and for those that are watching via video, for your service, and appreciate your participation in this service. As our worship team comes up, I want to say just a few things. We began today's service with Blaine showing us and speaking us how God expects us to memorialize certain events and people of our heritage and our history. Ever since the Old Testament, we learned that God tells us to have festivals and ceremonies for the purpose of never forgetting what he has done for his people, Israel. And just like the Israelites, I think that we should never forget the painful, hurtful times in our lives, because it is during these times that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death spoken of in Psalm 23. And it is in these times that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is reaching out to us to trust him, to have faith that he will never leave us, but he will lead us to still waters. We want to open this time to allow you to respond to God, so I'd like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are truly humbled to come before you today to remember a patriot, to remember an American, to remember a hero, a man who lived out his life in a Christ-like way through his actions and the freedom that he fought for and secured for on our behalf. Father, we pray and thank you for this day, this beautiful day that you created. We seek you for your mercy and for your grace. And we came to ask for your mercy of our sins and for your grace for forgiveness. And we came to worship and praise for being such a loving God. Today, Father, we're reminded of what you taught us about remembering things such as Passover and communion, so that we would forever be reminded of you. And because of your teachings, we're humbled to participate in honoring a true soldier of our country, a man who prepared and you prepared and to live out his life in faith. Lord, we leave today, and please, I pray, Father, to strengthen our hearts that we will truly be soldier heroes for those who are lost. And we pray that everything we've done today, everything that we will do today and after today, pray that it will bring you glory and glory to your kingdom. And it is in the holy name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
If you have your elements, I want to encourage you to take them out. At this point, we want to remember the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. Before Christ came, we were in spiritual bondage. We were hopeless. But with love, he left heaven and came to intercede on our behalf. And scripture tells us that he picked up the bread and he broke it. And he said, this broken bread represents my broken body. As you partake in it, you remember the broken body that was given for you. Then he picked up the cup. And he said, this cup represents the blood that was shed for you. You see, Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no remission of sin, no atonement of sin. But Jesus' blood provides our atonement, provides our forgiveness. He says, as you do this, remember the blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary's Hill for you. Now, we'd like to conclude this memorial service with the celebration of a time of worship. And so I will be up front if you want to pray. If you need to come to the altar because God's revealed something to you, maybe this has been a good time for you to realize that maybe you've gotten off a little bit and life has just become overwhelming and Christ isn't the center of everything. And you just want to come to the altar and pray. The altars are open. If you need to come and pray with me, I'll be up here. Or if you just need to stay at your seats and you just want to worship the Lord, we just want to conclude this memorial service with a time of celebration and worship. So let's stand and pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this day. Lord, I just pray that, God, you will meet each one of us where we are, Father. God, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you will meet them where they are, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that if anyone in here, Lord, does know you as their Lord and Savior, but Lord, if they're honest, Father, their life isn't a demonstration of your kingdom and your glory. God, I pray that you will do a work in their lives, that they will leave this place differently than they came in. And God, I just pray that we will remember everything that you've done and all the promises that you've given us. Father, I pray that you will be the center of all that we are. We pray these things in Jesus' name.